Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlaniBoard.com. You know, I like that my guest this week is Mr. Martin O'Donnell. He is on the road while driving. I am not on the road. I enjoy that dynamic because he and I have shared many a phone conversation where I was driving back to St. Louis and he was at home after the game and we were lamenting how bad things were as we were headed to another 3-9, 2-10 season over the years. And now we are sitting here and we are going to be talking about the number 24 team in the country. So I enjoy the flip of this, Martin, that you're driving and I'm at home and we're talking about a ranked football team.
I like it.
I could get used to
it. Yeah. I could get used to it. Yeah. I mean,
I was just trying to think, like, it works. When's the first time we watched that practice in Ranto? Was that 2012? When we stood,
I have no idea.
It was either 2012 or 2013. So
you're a lot better remembering that stuff than I am, because I spent a lot of time at Camp Rantoul.
Yes.
Kind of involuntarily.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So
you were forced to be there five times.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's just crazy, right? Like, I mean, you and I have shared a lot of conversations, you know, not recorded, just like, you know, phone calls of, oh, dear God, why do we do this to ourselves? What are we doing here? Like, how is it this bad? How, you know, so many that to sit here after 10 years of that like this, it's just so bizarre. I still, this week, haven't wrapped my brain around being ranked. That the four ranked Big Ten teams are Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Illinois. I just can't get it through my head. I feel like after the season, I'm going to wake up on like April 9th and be like, wait, we were ranked. Like, we were really good. Like, it just still won't sink in for me. That's my experience this week. I don't know about yours, but that's my experience being 5-1 this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be a better person about living in the moment. You know, I think a lot of times, and, you know, I think you certainly fall victim to this probably more than anybody in my life. But that's really just kind of getting ahead of yourself or kind of, you know, thinking if this, then this. And, you know, I really can believe that this team is ranked because we've seen them just play some excellent football and in particular excellent defense so far this season, and the one loss that's there is a game that, based upon the numbers that matter the most, Illinois deserved to lose. They deserved to lose against Indiana. You can't turn the ball over four times. You can't commit that amount of penalties on the road in the Big Ten. You can't not convert on fourth and goal on the goal line. So, you know, but look, that I think that experience of that, and Brett Bielema's talked about that Indiana game, I think in just about every Monday press conference, where, you know, you can't tell the story. And look, we're halfway through the season. You can't tell a story about where this team is six games in without talking about that Indiana game. And I don't think Illinois is where they are right now without the pain from that Indiana game. Because it's like anything else in life, you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. And that's it. So, it's very exciting. I think it's great to feel the fan base get excited and engaged again. And, you know, I think everybody's a little bit afraid of getting hurt, and that's why that Iowa game last week was so fun and, to a certain extent, therapeutic, where there's been moments over the past, call it, you know, 15 years, where it's kind of like, okay, can Illinois do it? We're going to have a better crowd. You know, it's an important opponent coming in. You know, can we show up? Can we make it work? And, you know, that North Carolina game in 2016 or whatever it was continues to come to my mind, but they did it. They overcame, you know, adversity. They did it in front of definitely the best crowd of the season. Really looking forward to watching and seeing what the numbers look like this Saturday. But, you know, we have a good football team. They're fun to watch, and it's been a joy to be a part of it every week.
Yeah. Since you mentioned that, you know, that resilient loss, that, you know, the loss that ties everyone together kind of thing. I mean, your 07 season kind of had that, right? Like, Missouri was, like, it was a very close game that year that just went the wrong way. Mostly, let's see, was that the year of the 99-yard fumble return in 07? Yeah, I think that was 07. Or was that 08? No, that was 07.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
The hell, it's been a while.
I don't know.
But, I mean, do you remember feeling that about the 07 the 07 Missouri game? It was like, it was close and probably should have been a win, but just didn't get there. Was that the Will Judson game where he caught the two long touchdowns? Anyway, I'm blending a bunch of games.
No, that together. Was the game. That was the game where Juice got hurt in the first half, and then Eddie McGee came in and almost brought us back. I mean, I think.
Like, do you remember the bus ride or the? I'm guessing you guys bust to that game, right? Like, do you remember the dejection of so close, almost, you know, do you remember anything about that kind of thing, you know, binding the team together?
I mean, I think it was the kind of thing that, you know, we knew we certainly had talent, and, you know, in that season, you know, it was the first game of the year, which is a little bit different. You know, I think that loss against Missouri, as the season kind of started to unfold, and Missouri had a really good season in 07. I think they were ranked number one at one point.
Yep, definitely.
But, you know, I think that was something that, you know, we took confidence from, saying, hey, we should have beaten that Missouri team. And look, they're ranked number one in the country. And so there's a little bit of that that's, you know, it's revisionist history, and it's a little bit of a different thing, but I think you certainly learn from failures, and look, when you make critical mistakes and critical junctures, you're going to pay the price for it when you're playing high level competition. So I think Illinois learned from that this season. I think, you know, again, that long bus ride home for them, and, you know, for me, it was driving 3 hours through the Indiana back roads and getting home at, you know, 2 a.m. or something like that. I think you think about a lot of stuff, but it's fun to see where they are right now, but it's a challenge, because look, it's life in the Big Ten. Great, you played awesome against Wisconsin. Congratulations, you get Iowa at home. Okay, great, you beat Iowa. Congratulations, you have Minnesota coming in, and that's just what it is. And I think it's fun to be in October, mid October now, and playing relevant games that really matter. And it's exciting for this team and for me to see this coaching staff and this team have some early success, because when you're working with 18 to 22-year-old guys, I mean, confidence goes such a long way. And this team, I think, is playing confident right now, and they know they're good, and they feel good about what they're doing. And there's absolutely proof of concept in terms of what Coach Bielema and this staff has been telling them to do and getting them prepared for. And, you know, that's the fun thing to see. And so now, obviously, hey, you got 6 games left. You got a lot of fun stuff in front of you, but you have to take care of business against Minnesota, because this is going to be a very close game. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a one possession game into the fourth quarter. That's what all of these Big Ten West games are going to be.
It's funny. I might have even said it to you in up in Wisconsin, like, if we go 2-1 in these next 3 games, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, like, I am overjoyed, thrilled when looking at the 3 games, like, 1 on the road at Wisconsin and 2 at home against Iowa and Minnesota. 2-1 is an absolute dream. Like, 3-0, you don't even consider. But 2-1, you know, some people when we were sitting at a table that night, we're like, okay, 1-2 is okay. You know, 1-2 is okay because Michigan State's probably not that good, and you can beat Northwestern and this and that. So 1-2 is fine if you just get one of these next 3. Now we're 2-0 so far. And looking at the third game, like, God, if we win this, like, we're fully thinking Indy at that point. You know, it's beat Purdue, go to Indy, you know. So you know, it's strange how these expectations can crank up so quickly. Because that night, it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. That night, we were sitting there thinking, okay, you know, 6-6 and 7-5 is on the table, totally on the table. And, you know, 6-6 is attainable. We can go bowling this year. Now we're sitting here at 5-1 and ranked, thinking, win this, and we are fully pulled out in front in the driver's seat to go play Ohio State or Michigan in Indy. And that's just insane. That's insane. And so, so much fun, like you mentioned. But, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard. I'm still at this. Like, if we lose this weekend, I'm okay because 2-1 was a dream. You know, I can still – I can accept 2-1 across this three-game stretch. But like any fan, as it approaches, you just start thinking, man, if we went to 6-1, climbed higher in the rankings, beat Minnesota, and started thinking Indy, it would be – beyond a dream. Like it would be, this would, I can't even put words to it. So, you know, do you think like that? Do you adjust your expectations? Where are you at as you approach this game?
I don't think like that. You know, I think a lot of it, I still approach a lot of the seasons and, you know, even the games, you know, almost like I'm still playing, just from the perspective of, you just think about the next game. I mean, and look, even when we've had some, you know, really tough seasons, and you and I have had a lot of conversations through those, you know, it doesn't matter if we were, you know, a 2 or 3 win team, you know, going in and playing, you know, ranked Ohio State or whoever. I mean, every week I look at it and I say, okay, what is the path to victory? How can Illinois win this game? And there's always a path to victory. There always is. You know, there you can pick countless examples, and a lot of times it's you got to win the turnover margin by 3. You know, you got to capitalize on those and turn them into touchdowns. I mean, there's some simplistic things that carry over all the time, but so I'm not mentally going to get to a point where I'm really thinking beyond Minnesota, and a lot of that is just because this was a very tight game last year. I know it's going to be a really good game, and it's also, you know, it's a team that recruits in the state of Illinois. It's a team that you're in recruiting battles with, you know, pretty often. So, you know, I think it's really important from a lot of perspectives. And I think, it, you know, maybe it shifts a little bit. You know, I'm laser focused on getting the 6th win is really where my head is.
Yeah.
Robert, where I want to for sure be bowl eligible, and then we'll figure it out from there. And until we get there, you know, cause that's been always the first goal that I've had for Illinois every single season is get bowl eligible, get bowl eligible, get the extra practices, you know, get in that, you know, get in the cool kid club that we've been out of for far too often in terms of bowl season. Mm-hmm. And then play for a better bowl, and then play for a better bowl, and then figure out what kind of comes along with that. So no, I mean, my mind doesn't go that far down the path. I think, you know, like I said, I'm just really looking forward to this matchup against Minnesota. And it looks like, you know, Mo Ibrahim is going to be playing, and, you know, Tanner Morgan is still there at quarterback. And you just know they're going to be very solid on both sides of the ball. So, like I said, I'm going to be really excited to see the crowd here this Saturday. It's homecoming weekend. You got a good football team that's taking up residence in Memorial Stadium. And, It's hard for me to look past Saturday, really.
Yeah, I get it. I wonder if Blake Hayes plays into this at all. In the, you know, the Minnesota play, as corny as Row the Boat is, and as much as all that stuff makes me roll my eyes, you know, for whatever Fleck is, he gets his followers to buy into this whole mantra thing. And so the Blake Hayes snap the oar over his leg when we beat them up there was fun and funny and went everywhere on Twitter and was the main, you know, Illinois football was known for 2 things last season: 1, 9 overtime victory, and 2, punter snapping a imaginary oar over his knee. So I just have to think that PJ is using that anybody who does that much lives in that world that much of motivation, and, you know, he's more or less that speaker at the Holiday Inn on Saturday morning at 9 kind of guy. And so I just have to think they're going to be using that this week of, like, they don't respect us and remember what they did. I just feel like they're going to come out on fire against us. You know, I'm a worrier as it is, but I just feel like they have a little extra motivation because A, we beat them last year. B, we beat them when they were ranked in, what, 14? We beat them when they came in here in 18? We beat him 18, yeah. So we've kind of been a thorn in their side when we've been bad, and I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're going to have a little extra motivation, especially since our punter snapped an oar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to use that for motivation, and they certainly should, you know. But I think the other motivating factor for them is going to be, hey, let's get a win versus a ranked team.
Yeah,
you know, and that is,
I don't even think about us like that. Yeah.
No, yeah. And really, that's what's flipped is now Illinois is ranked. So now, instead of being, you know, where we've been the hunter for a very long time, now you're the hunted, right? Like, now they're saying, hey, this is an opportunity for Minnesota to get a win versus a ranked opponent. And I think they're absolutely going to be ready to play. And that's, you know, the intensity level just ratchets up a little bit. And again, it's great to be ranked because, you know, I remember in 2007 when we actually got ranked for the first time, and maybe it was after, I can't remember if it was after Penn State or after Wisconsin, but we got ranked, and it's like, I mean, it was really neat, right? Because you got that little number next to your team's name on the scroll on the bottom line on,
yep,
you know, ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever. But but then you are now a ranked team, and so now the team, everybody you play is going to be trying to get a win versus a ranked opponent because those are wins that people remember. So yeah, absolutely, Minnesota's going to come in. They're going to be ready. And again, it's going to be a line of scrimmage game where Illinois is going to have to play with the same intensity that they had against Wisconsin, against Iowa, because that's the level of opponent that you're playing. And again, you know, look, I mean, Minnesota would still be ranked were it not for a loss against Purdue. And, you know, Purdue still looks to be pretty darn good. So, I mean, these are games that are really important when you're talking about, you know, winning those divisional battles. And then, yes, that could mean a lot of different things as the season unfolds, but I mean, I'm very confident Minnesota's going to do everything they can to beat Illinois, and I know that Illinois is sure as hell is going to do the exact same thing and be ready for it.
I just looked it up. It was after it. We didn't get ranked after after Penn State. We got votes, didn't get ranked. Then when we beat Wisconsin, who was number 5, then we were ranked 18th, and then we went to Iowa
and lost.
And yeah, and a little thing happened with covering a tight end and. Yeah. You know, we've been through 1,000 times, yes. but, yeah, I mean, since we're talking about that, you know, it could just be you went on the road after 2 exhausting home games, emotional home games. It's just really hard to, you know, do you remember in practice, like, do you remember, you know, Bielma talks about complacency all the time. Like, we can't have complacency. Yeah. It can't be in this building. We cannot have it. We need to turn it around. You know, do you remember anything going into that Iowa game of like, hey, we're ranked 18 now and you know, maybe there's a little complacency, or how do you remember that Iowa game?
No, I think it's hard to get. I think you can feel good about yourself. I think it's hard to get. And I think of complacency as more of a longer term thing in terms of, you know, over a period of time or an off season or something.
Yeah,
I think it's certainly harder. You know, and I think it's hard to be really, really good 3 weeks in a row. So I think that's part of it. And look, again, it's the Big Ten is full of good teams. And that was a season. I mean, that season, you know, we're talking too much about 2007. So we need to flip it back to 2022. But that season was a little bit of a trip because we were ranked and we lost to Iowa in Iowa City. And then I distinctly remember the Iowa fans rushed the field after beating us, right? Like, we won 8 games in my first 4 years, mm-hmm. and we're midway through my 5th season, and Iowa's rushing the field for beating us. And so that always stands out to me because it's like, okay, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
They understand that we're good,
yeah.
And now we got to go do some other stuff. And look, we wouldn't have won. We wouldn't have beaten Ohio State in Columbus had we not lost to Iowa. It's the same kind of thing. Like, you have to learn – from those defeats and from that adversity. And again, I think that's what, you know, Illinois is going to face more adversity here as the season goes along. It's not just going to be smooth sailing because we lost to Indiana several weeks ago. There's going to be a lot more of that. And look, I think last week, the thing that's so impressive to me and the thing that I enjoy so much about watching this team play, and in particular watching this defense play, is you talk about adversity and you talk about some of the positions that the defense was put in last year against Iowa. Yep. And what do? They turn around, they get big tackles for loss, they get pass breakups. You know, they just do an unbelievable job time and time again. And that's special. And there's people, you know, I've talked to a lot of people this week, as I know you have, that people are like, oh, that was a boring game against Iowa. I was like, well, if you're only looking at offense, yeah, it's kind of tough to watch. But if you appreciate defense and you enjoy good defense, that was a sensational football game.
Yeah.
And it was, and it was good. It was good special teams play as well. So that's the kind of thing where, you know, this Illinois defense is really fun. You look at the national rankings and it is elite. And that's something that I hope all Illinois fans are enjoying is, you know, looking at the line play, looking at the play of the linebackers, looking at, you know, the coverage, you know, looking at the adjustments and seeing some of that the coaches are making on a week in, week out basis, on a quarter by quarter basis, on a half by half basis. I think the halftime adjustments on both sides of the ball this year have been really, really good. So, you know, it's a well-coached team. It's a fun team. I'm excited to see how the season unfolds. But like I said, it's really hard for me to look past Minnesota just because I know it's going to be an absolute battle.
Yeah. It's funny how you mentioned, you know, adversity's coming and, you know, this isn't just going to be smooth sailing. And then, you mentioned how that this Iowa game was, you know, there were a lot of adverse situations. It is in a sense that we played that, you know, say we had lost, say the fumble's not overturned. And we lose to Iowa, and we're not ranked. A lot of the talk this week would have been, look, emotional win at Wisconsin, fell flat at home against Iowa. You know, it would have been that. We did play a fell flat game, and Isaiah Williams had those two fumbles, and we had three total turnovers, and we threw a pick at the one-yard line, and, you know, we did all the little bad things to lose football games, and that's what we have talked about, or we would have talked about. But we did win. We play that crazy everything went wrong game, and we still pulled it out because of this defense. And now maybe it's time to play an energized game on Saturday to where, you know, we had our letdown, but we didn't lose the letdown game. And now we, you know, refocus and resurge.
Yeah.
You know, it's
– yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and I would just say I think the one thing and let this be the last time we talk about – freaking 2007.
No,
please.
We're gonna bring it up.
We're not gonna talk about it on this podcast.
We're ending up at the teacup.
No, but here's the thing. Okay, you can stop. So here's the thing that's different about this team that I like, that I think is underrated a little bit. When teams have success for the first time, it's definitely difficult to handle that. You know, what does that look like? You got media requests, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't forget that this team had that last year in the longest college football game in college football history at Penn State in Happy Valley. And everybody was talking about them. They had all that stuff. And then they turned around and I believe came home and had their letdown game and lost to Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Right. So like this team, the backbone of this team has been in that situation before. And then they had to dig themselves out of the hole. And they did. They went and they turned around and they continued to play good football. And then they ended last season, you know, by just, you know, really playing excellent against Northwestern. So that's something, too, where this team has been through some of these. I mean, last year was very high low in terms of, you know, some really high highs and some low lows. But the leadership on this team has been through a lot of that. And so I feel pretty good about that. That, again, they're going to continue to be ready to play. And it's a little bit different because you're ranked now. But again, two very teams that are very familiar with each other. And then you get a bye week and then you can really reassess and look and rest up. And, you know, again, I think the schedule has worked out really, really well for Illinois with the two bye weeks by playing week zero. It's just an excellent way to handle it where they've had rest at really opportune times. And again, they'll have the bye week after this weekend against Minnesota, and then that'll allow them to really dial in on the last five games and make the home stretch.
You know, one thing I know I'm going to be writing next week once we have this seventh game of this season is, you know, say we were to look at last five games of last year and these seven games as a full season, you know. Say that's how we viewed it, because something changed after seven games last year in that bye week. I mean, part of it was, you know, the Bielma quotes went viral and everything else, and people were, you know, misinterpreting what he said and everything else. And, oh, is Illinois even going to show up at Penn State? Are these players going to want to play for this coach? Whatever. But there was something to that bye week. You're coming off a game where Wisconsin had 400 and 80 yards or whatever, and you had 93. And, you know, it was just complete domination by Wisconsin. And this is coming on the heels of losing to Maryland and losing to Purdue and you know, losing that awful Virginia game. And, you know, all you've done is beat Charlotte and Nebraska, and you had lost to UTSA and everything else. But if you just look at those five games and these seven games, and again, this is a point I will make after Saturday, whether we win or lose, you know, there's something to that's a moment that turned this around. You beat Penn State, have that letdown game against Rutgers. You beat Minnesota. You have a probably decent game. You made some mistakes at Iowa. Iowa won 10 games last year. You know, you went on the road. You played an okay game. You didn't get blown out. You were competitive. Kirby got that pick. You had a chance at the end to drop, you know, get the ball back,
right.
You know, down six at midfield or whatever. You know, you had these opportunities. You were just really in a road game at Iowa. You come home and you blow out Northwestern. And now we have the results of these six, soon to be seven games to start the season. And the record in those games is either going to be 8-4 or 9-3, depending on what happens Saturday. And that's the kind of football team I think we've had since that bye week. We've had an 8-4, 9-3 kind of a team. You know, things just somehow clicked and fell into place. And all that I was talking about of like, man, you're losing these seven guys on defense. You're losing, you know, who's your quarterback going to be? You know, what are you going to do in the offensive line with Lowe and Kramer and everyone gone? And, you know, we had all these conversations about how it was just going to be hard to keep this thing going. But when you pull back and just look at it that way, we started to see this current team in Penn State, and it's just rolled forward despite the personnel losses. That is just so, so impressive to me. You know, it's something I've never covered. I have never covered, you know, something like that where switch is flipped and you just maintain it even though you lost players. It's really, really, really impressive where the program stands right now. You know, I know I have to change the way I approach. I need to start throwing out all of my old ways to approach games, you know. I need to be a fan of a team that's dependable. I need to not be so afraid as games approach. You know, there's this whole adjustment that I'm trying to put myself through to where I don't hedge emotionally, where I don't do any of that, and I just approach, you know what, is a fantastic defense, going to keep the team in every game. Let's see what the offense can do and how many of those games we can win. Maybe I'll take the 2 weeks of the bye week and go to some kind of training camp of like, okay, here's how you approach these kind of things when you have a dependable team. This is what it's like to cheer for a team like this, because it's just so incredible how far we have climbed here.
Yeah. So I agree with you.
Right.
I think you need to take the bye week and do some work on yourself, Bob. I think we can all agree with that.
I will do it. I seriously do it.
Everybody listen. I think all your subscribers, all the listeners would greatly appreciate that.
I'm just working on me right now. Yeah, exactly. I'm in. Okay, so you know, you're an offensive guy, right? So let's talk line. Carmen would hate it if we didn't spend at least 15 to 20 minutes talking offensive line. My first question that I want to ask you is what you think of the platoon of Slaughter and Chrysler at guard. Of, you know, we kind of have had six starters through the season. You and I have had conversations before about like find your five and get those five guys who know exactly what the guy next to him is doing and everything else. You know, what are your thoughts on a platoon at one of those starting spots and how it's working out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's working out pretty well. I think ideally you have, you know, there's a couple of different schools of thought. You say one, you know, and when I played for people in both camps where it was, hey, you got your starters, you play your five starters the entire season unless you're getting blown out or you're blowing somebody out.
Yeah.
There's also been times where you say, okay, it'd be really good to mix in, you know, another guy just so you're building a little bit of redundancy or, you know, hey, you got to work, you know, one guy, you know, sometimes struggles a little bit, so he needs a break, and so you bring in the other guy. But I think the platoon is working out pretty well. I think Slaughter's done a nice job when he comes in, and that's tough to do. Because I think Chrysler has started just about every game, but it's really tough when you kind of come cold off the bench, you know, after a series or two, and you kind of just jump into the game. So I think Jordan Slaughter's done a very nice job there. But overall, I think the platoon seems to be working, and I think the thing that I'm most encouraged by is this offensive line has played their best football the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
When they've really needed to the most. And so I think you see some of that. You see them starting to gel. I think you see, you know, Alex Pilstrom doing a really nice job of getting everybody on the same page and, you know, identifying, you know, fronts and, you know, calling out blitzes and setting protections and working in conjunction with the quarterback to do those sorts of things. So I think they're playing their best football right now. And it's fun to see a group, you know, because every group is different. Every line is different. It's fun to see them start to come together. And there are a couple of snaps in the game against Iowa where one of the things where you can just, it was emblematic to me of the development that this line has taken is and remember watching Wyoming, you know, there's several twists and stunts where Wyoming had guys coming free. And that's just, you know, you got to say you got a defensive tackle on the right guard's outside shoulder and you have a defensive end outside the right tackle. And, you know, if you're running a TE, the defensive tackle is going to run and he's going to rush upfield, but also try to run into the tackle. And then the end is going to take a couple steps upfield like he's rushing and then loop inside. Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple of stunts, whether it's a TE or an ET, where you basically kind of flip those, ends the penetrator, tackle loops around against Wyoming, which, you know, Illinois beat by a lot, but where guys came free. And it's like, okay, well, that's a problem because, again, anything you put on tape, your opposition is going to pick on that until you prove you can stop it. Mm-hmm. And there were several stunts last week where Iowa was trying to run stunts against this Illinois offensive line and they picked it up beautifully. Mm-hmm. And they were communicating and they're on the same level and they're passing off the penetrator and they're setting back on the looper. And, you know, that's the stuff to me that is exciting. Again, it's not a big thing. And sometimes the play didn't end, you know, wound up as an incompletion or it didn't really work out well, but it's stuff like that that tells me that these guys are communicating, they're working on it, they're developing it, they're getting that chemistry, and that's exactly what you want to see week over week. And so I think they've played really good football. I think Bart Miller's done a nice job of coaching them up, of getting them ready to play, of getting them ready to answer the bell in terms of Big Ten West play. So that's really fun to me just to kind of see where this offensive line is. And, by the way, you have the leading rusher in the country, so that's pretty good too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, wouldn't it be like, it makes sense to me that, you know, picking up those stunts would be harder if, you know, okay, say it's a series, you pick up the stunt and then the next series Slaughter is in, Chrysler is out, and they run the same stunt, and you need two different guys communicating well to pick it up, kind of thing. Just seems like that would be harder. Would that not? I mean, it just seems like when you're learning that from the Wyoming game to now, you're hoping that it's those five guys, you know, now you got six guys who need to learn to communicate like that. You think that's a little harder? You know, I know you don't want to talk about 2007, but Eric Block was that guy.
I really don't.
Yes. Yeah. But here we go again. You know, Eric Block was the sixth man, right? What? Yeah. I think it was Block, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've talked before how when you got leg whipped in whatever game and Block had to come in for you and this and that. Like, what's the specifics of, you know, what do you think is lost when that backup comes in? You know, I think we saw it a little bit in Indiana when Adams had to go to tackle because, you know, Pearl missed the game. So, you know, thankfully you do have Slaughter, so you do kind of still have five starters left. But now it's totally different because the other guy's out of tackle. You know, it has to change somewhat when that extra guy comes in as far as, like, he's just not out there every play, you know, going through the motions and learning, okay, here's the signal, here's the call, here's the thing.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it changes things some. I think the, you know, it's really challenging if you have guys kind of getting shuffled around due to injury, right? And I can't remember the specifics of the injuries so far this year, but we've had instances where, you know, I think where Chrysler and Slaughter are playing guard at the same time, you know, or Isaiah Adams, I can't recall. I mean, we've had guys going in and out. So it's harder when you're really flipping positions. When you have a sixth guy to slide in there, it's not as difficult. And again, you know, and they have the rotation now. It's Jordan Slaughter in spot. I mean, they're both playing right guard. But what you've had is now an additional 5 weeks of Pilstrom and Slaughter and Pilstrom and Chrysler, and then put Palcheski in there too, where they're practicing with each combination. That grows, right? So now when you're really shuffling guys around, and if somebody has to go out and play, you know, if Isaiah Adams has to go out and play tackle because something happens, and then you're really shuffling, that's where it gets complicated. And I think that's what had happened earlier in the year, was Adams had to kick out the tackle, you know, a few different times. So it's when you do that and you're shuffling people around, and that's where it gets really challenging, because you have guys, he's playing left guard and now he has to play right tackle. And that's really tough to do in a short span of plays. But when you're able to get in that rhythm, and they'll do it during practice, I'm sure, where it's, hey, you know, first drive, Chrysler, second drive, Slaughter, first drive, Chrysler, second drive, or however they're doing it.
Yep.
And you get in those set rotations, and you really just, you're building chemistry between those two different combinations of three guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And that's my, you know, it's why Bart Miller has been really impressive this year. You know, again, like, A, getting Paltrow back was a huge thing, because we were going to have one starter back. You were just going to have Julian Pearl coming back. You lost Bedovinak. You lost Vidarian Lowe. You lost Kramer, you know, and you were going to lose Paucho from last year. So having two starters back instead of one is good. Pilstrom did start 4 or 5 games last year before Bedovinak won the job. Excuse me. So, you know, he was kind of a – I said to people we had 2.5 starters back. You know, Pilstrom was probably that sixth man last year, what Slaughter and Chrysler have been, you know, bouncing in and out of this year.
Yeah.
But to be able to go to get two JUCOs to move that sixth man to center and make it all work and have the leading rusher in the country, that is a A-plus offensive line coaching job, because there just weren't many snaps returning, and you're plugging in two guys who are playing their first ever – FBS football. You know, one played one, you know, Crystal played 1 year at a Mississippi JUCO, and Adams is a little older, but he had just played Canadian football and a year at Garden City JUCO. So yeah, it's just so impressive how they've been able to combine this and get to a point where you have the leading rusher in the country.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they've done a nice job. I think Bart's done a good job of coaching them, and you know, and part of that too is, you know, you look at offensive scheme, and I think Barry Lunney's done a nice job of, you know, as the offensive line was, you know, kind of rounding in the form in the beginning of the season. You know, if you have an offensive line that's struggling, you don't run deep drops. You know, you don't do some of those longer developing plays, just because it's harder for them to be successful with that. Or maybe you're not running, you know, specifically gap schemes if they're better zone blocking line. So I think it's all worked together really nicely. And again, the players have played really good football. And that's what's, again, exciting to me, is that, you know, we're only halfway through the season. There's still 6 more games to go. And, you know, the growth trajectory that I've seen there is very, very encouraging.
Yeah. So I don't want to go through the whole roster and discuss, like, I think this guy's an NFL guy, this guy's an NFL guy. My thought that I've been having this week is how surprising it's been of how many, like, stars there are on this team. You know, like, that's been the biggest, like, oh, holy crap, Johnny Newton isn't just good, he's first team all conference good. And wait, you know, I thought Quan would be better this year. Quan is great this year. I thought Spoon had the potential to be in the NFL someday, but I'm pretty sure he's leaving early to go to the NFL. You know, so I've just adjusted on so many individual players. I'm just curious if you've had the same experience, because watching this team this year, and, you know, I guess I didn't get to see practice, which is always part of my experience in August of, like, oh, that guy's really good. That, ooh, you know, Whitney Merciless has taken a big leap forward. Look out for a big season. You know, you can kind of see those things coming. I didn't see all of these players. I didn't think Chase Brown would lead the country in rushing. I didn't think we'd have 9 interceptions in 6 games. So, you know, individually, do you find yourself surprised by the performances we're seeing?
Surprised probably isn't the right word. I mean, and I'm gonna evade your question a little bit.
Do it.
And that's because the thing that I enjoy most about college football is exactly what we're seeing this season. The thing that I really enjoy most about spending a lot of time watching the games, rewatching the games, you know, thinking through, you know, how Illinois can beat this team or that team, you know, 12 times every fall. The thing that's so enjoyable to me is watching players develop and watching guys go from, you know, yes, undersized, you know, pushed around, true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, to guys who are playing like multi-year starters at a real Big Ten school and playing good football. Yep. And that's where I look at, you know, Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton and seeing these guys develop. You know, Tariq Barnes is playing great football.
Yeah.
I agree. Devin Witherspoon, you know, has been playing really well. You know, I mean, look, you can talk about all kinds of guys. Kendall Smith is having a phenomenal year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how many interceptions does Kendall Smith have? Three?
He has three, yeah.
Yeah.
Nate Hobbs had three his entire career, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the stuff that I find real. You know, I think Alex Palcheski is playing some of his best football at the University of Illinois.
100%.
In like year 12 or whatever it is for him.
Yep.
But it's that's the stuff that's really enjoyable. You know, watching Pat Bryant become a different player this year.
Yep.
Those are the things that are really fun to me. And look, I don't know enough about the NFL to know, you know, who translates to this, that, or the other thing. But I think you can watch guys play football and say, hey, that person has the tools and the production to get a shot at the next level. And I think Illinois has a good amount of guys like that right now. And I think the other thing is, and some of it is, it's first and foremost, it's the players. It's them putting the time in, yep, to getting better. It's Tank and his staff as well on the strength and conditioning side of getting those guys, you know, bodies in a good place and being athletic. But then this is also a really well-coached team. I mean, you look at how many guys made opening rosters from last year's team. You know, I think it's like five or six guys,
yep,
which is probably the most Illinois had in quite some time from one class. Yep. And I think only two of those guys were drafted, maybe three. But that's the stuff that, you know, the thing that's encouraging to me is, you know, I've said it ad nauseum. I know we've talked about it. Illinois has to be a place where we can develop players and we can be a developmental program.
Yeah.
And Brett Bielema's talked about it, where you can take a guy who's maybe a little under recruited, coach him up in your scheme. And 3, 4, 5 years later, they leave as a really, really good football player. And if they want to have a chance to play at the next level, they probably have a chance to play at the next level. And so that's what's really encouraging to me is some of these guys who, you know, are developing year over year and taking big leaps. And a lot of guys taking a big leap at the same time, I think, is really indicative of where you are from a program standpoint and how you're setting guys up to be successful. So that's the way I'm going to evade your question, Bob, and say, no, look, I'm really encouraged when I look, yep, at this stuff and I see guys make significant leaps year over year. You know, and a guy like Seth Coleman. I mean, Seth Coleman's playing really good football.
Yep.
There's examples of it. All, you know, Brian Hightower. You know, yeah. I mean, Brian Hightower's been unbelievable this,
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened in, you know, last year, but, you know, in 2020, you know, you think he led the team in receiving. So there's stuff like that where I say, hey, I think we have a tough football team first and foremost. I think we have a resilient football team, and I think we have a smart football team that's well coached. And so it's fun to say, and that's the part that gets me, you know, excited to see where this season leads.
And it occurs to me that everything we're sitting here talking about, you know, God forbid if we had a Wisconsin podcast or we were on an Iowa podcast the last 20 years, these are just the things they'd be talking about, right? I mean, this is just, oh yeah, Wisconsin. Like, okay, yeah, they developed a few more linebackers out of nobody and, well, yep, just going to keep rolling. You know, a good developmental program. These are just the things you talk about. You know, you just say, yep, okay, six more guys on the NFL roster, keep plugging along, keep doing what we do, leading rusher in the country again, you know.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, I forget who I said this to. I mix up where I said things and whether it was on the radio or whatever. But, you know, we are experiencing this competency maybe for the first time, and we're just adjusting to it. Of maybe this was always what it was always going to be this easy, you know, it was always going to be this simple of, oh, good coach develops players, has the staff, understands roster management, understands how to put it together. Sure, there's gonna be ups and there's gonna be downs, and it won't be a smooth sailing until it's fully assembled, but you know, this is just how you win college football games. It's how Wisconsin won college football games the last 30 years. Set it up, develop it, find walk-ons like Isaac Darkangelo and develop them into stars. Find a Miles Scott coming off of a prep school during a coming out of prep school during a pandemic, doesn't have any offers because he went to this prep school and basically couldn't play any games. He went to the prep school because his coaches told him, look, you're really good, and we're just going to go show out at the prep school and get a bunch of offers. Then he can't, but the staff finds him anyway. Now he's a redshirt freshman who is, you know, the fifth or sixth receiver and probably a big part of this in the future. You know, there's just this competency to going out, finding the players, finding the guys, developing it, and putting it all together. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy in its simplicity for me because, you know, I've dissected all of these things trying to figure out how we get there, and here we are. So it's, it's great. It's great. I'm not complaining. It's just crazy to me how simple it always been. So let's look forward here. If we can dream a little bit, if we can talk bowls a little bit, and I know you're a one game at a time guy. Personally, I have my eyes set. I would love to be in Florida. I would love to either get the Citrus Bowl, the Outback Bowl, which is now the ReliaQuest Bowl. We haven't been in one of those two bowl games since 1990, I believe. And it's just been so long since we've had, you always see the non-Ohio State Big Ten teams ending up in those bowl games playing SEC teams. You know, morning, you wake up on New Year's Day, and those are the bowl games. I would love to be there. Do you have any? I probably know how you're going to answer this, but do you have any, like, man, it would be a dream if we could get to X Bowl?
No.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew it. Go ahead. Just tell me why.
No. I mean, I focused on Minnesota, brother.
You can take the football away from the man, but you can't take the... I don't know why I was going to end that.
Well, why you asked that question.
Yes, yes. I can't even get you to look at, like... Okay, what about a record? Can I get you to say, like, where you think we're going to end up record-wise? Or are you going to say...
No. Well,
yes, I knew you'd do it. No, okay.
I never make predictions on records. What was yours this year, by the way?
Let's see. I think I had it at 4 wins, which we've already passed.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Anyways.
Gosh.
Shows you how valuable record predictions are.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Okay. Well, then let's talk about the second half of the season this way.
Yeah, sure.
This has set up. It's a crazy alignment of who we have played, right? Because going into the season, everybody was, okay, it's Wisconsin or maybe Iowa in the Big Ten West. Minnesota's maybe the sleeper. Purdue, lost Karlaftis, lost David Bell. Maybe they're going to take a step back. Nebraska could surprise. Nebraska could be that team. And then over here, Northwestern, Illinois, whatever. So... now that both Iowa and Wisconsin have really struggled, the way it is setting up right now is Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois as maybe battling for that spot in Indy, and both Minnesota and Purdue now come to Champaign. So, yep. Just give me your general thoughts, since I know you won't give me specifics, just give me your general thoughts on how the Big Ten West race has been setting up.
No, I think it's great. Obviously, the Minnesota and Purdue have to come to Champaign, and it's just, I think there's the teams are just going to beat each other up. I mean, that's the Big Ten. Michigan State's had a little bit of a down year, I think, from what they expected, and so I'm glad they come to Champaign. But and then you play at Michigan, and you have Northwestern at Northwestern. In terms of how I think it's going to end up, I think they're all just going to be really close games. And again, I think we know systems are their systems, and I think I was trying to add it up, and it's, this might be the, it's either the sixth or seventh year in a row that, you know, we've played a PJ Fleck team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we played them in Western Michigan, every year at Minnesota. And so, and they do what they do, and they're really efficient at doing it, and they're really good at doing it. And so, again, I like having that in Champaign. I like having it at homecoming with what's supposed to be a good crowd. I think that's great. You know, Purdue is always a close game. You know, that game last year, obviously, you know, disappointing at the end to kind of lose it that way. You know, and I just think, you know, and again, I'll evade your question in one way or another. I think, obviously, the two biggest keys to Illinois having a lot of success here in the second half of the season is, one, you got to hope Tommy DeVito's healthy, because he's been incredibly impressive in what he's done and how he's commanded the offense. But two, you know, whenever you get Josh McCray back, that's going to be an enormous boost. And it's going to be an enormous boost, because whenever Josh comes back, one, that's the thunder you do to your lightning, you know, where, you know, Chase Brown has had all this usage because, and I will say, I think Reggie Love played a great game against Iowa.
Yep.
I think he's really showed up, and another one of those guys who's taken a little bit of a leap. So that's great to see. But when you get Josh McCray back, you're going to get an extremely talented running back. And oh, guess what? He's going to have fresh legs. Right. So he's coming off of an injury. He's coming off of an injury, but I think they're obviously being smart with taking their time, but he's not been out there getting 10 to 15 carries a week, you know, for 6-7 weeks or whatever it winds up being. So that, I think, is a really big key for Illinois, because that was what hurt us against, you know, I think of that because of Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh had a great game against Purdue, but, you know, the kid's a true freshman and he's got 30 carries for 200 yards. And, you know, I think if you have Chase, and we saw that last year when we had both of those guys, it's just incredibly dynamic in terms of what you can do. So, so that, I think, for Illinois is, you know, I think the defense is going to continue to be incredibly efficient and incredibly solid. And then offensively, if you can get, you know, make sure, you know, DeVito's healthy. And then when you get Josh McCray back, you know, it's quite the ace up your sleeve for Barry Lunney and for this Illinois offense.
I'm sorry, but I'm lost in this land of what McCray's return means. I don't know why I hadn't really thought of that this week, but, you know, 5-1 and ranked, and you get the Thunder back soon has my brain spinning. I started writing headlines for if say he returns, you know, Nebraska, and then Michigan State is okay, and then has another like 190-yard game against Purdue. I'm sitting here mentally writing these headlines of, you know, well, I won't say it. Martin, we're taking things one game at a time. I don't know why we're talking about Purdue here.
Well, you asked the question.
I know. I'm an idiot. By the way, at what point do you think you'd be driving by my house? Because we could do that thing where you're in the car and, like, you hit the horn and then it shows up on my mic here while you're – at what point do you think you're driving past?
Not soon, because I'm heading right to my daughter's basketball game.
We can't share that moment, so
she's way more important than you. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're closing in on an hour here anyway, so we need to wrap it up. So let's get some final thoughts here. So we're 5-1. We're happy with that. We're thrilled with the direction of the program. You know, where we have Minnesota coming in for homecoming, with a chance to really put a statement on a conference chase. This is kind of like Chris Farley show question. Like, isn't that awesome? Like, is this not amazing? Like, I just don't want to lose. You know, I feel like this entire hour should have just been us saying, like, this is so great. This is so, so amazing. Because how many conversations have we had that were so incredibly depressing that I just wanted to record a conversation that's not, because this is incredible, right? I mean,
yeah.
I just can't find words this week to put to where we're at, what the future looks like, you know, what it feels like to have this level of competency, how much fun this team is to have a leading rusher and maybe one of the top defenses, maybe the top defense in the country. It's just so, so incredible. And I just want to say out loud how much I'm enjoying this and how much better a phone call like this is than, you know, after the Michigan State game in 2014 or whatever, you know, that we're sharing, like, is this ever going to turn around kind of thing. This isn't a question. I'm just throwing it to you. But for me, how freaking awesome is this? I mean, it's just so amazing.
There's no question. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's, and again, in terms of just, you know, trying to enjoy the moment, and, you know, the Iowa game was a ton of fun. The Wisconsin game was a ton of fun. And so enjoying those for kind of what they are. And again, to me, the part that I get happy about is again, these guys coming to, you know, our school, coming to Illinois,
yes,
and wanting to be,
yes,
wearing the colors that we wear and wanting to be a part of that. And, you know, that's why it's always enjoyable for me to see, you know, Illinois football have success, just because it's tough. Being a college athlete is really, really tough. And, you know, when you couple that with, you know, disappointing seasons, it's really, really tough. But it's fun to see that for them. You know, again, for the fan base to be super engaged, and, you know, I got people I haven't talked to in a while, and they're, you know, texting me before the games. What do you think? You know, what are we doing? You know, what's this going to be? What's that going to be? I mean, the level of engagement just ratcheting up week over week is really, really enjoyable. And again, it's been a pleasure to watch. I'm just really excited to look and see where this goes. And again, the part of it that's most exciting to me is, look, we're like a year and a half into this thing, right? I mean, this is growing, and it's expanding, and it's not, and it feels sustainable in terms of the way that it's happening. I think a lot of that is, you know, I think Brett Bielema has done a great job of coming in with a comprehensive business plan and executing on that and going and hiring great people and them turning around and recruiting great people and developing, you know, the great people that are already on the team. So that's the piece. It's exciting to me. It's fun to see, you know, I'll reflect on it more when you get through the season or something like that with kind of where it goes. But it is a great deal of fun to have this Illinois football team playing well. And, you know, I think it's really fun to see around town, and you can feel the energy, and you can certainly feel the energy within the fan base of people just ready to engage and engaging and, you know, just wearing a lot of orange and blue around. It's good to see.
Amen and hallelujah. Like, I can't top that. I can't beat it. This is so, so much fun. I will let you go drive to your daughter's basketball game. I hope she rains threes on the other team. I hope her team wears orange and blue. I hope everything is amazing, because this is so much fun.
Well, if my daughter shoots a three, I'm probably going to yell at her.
Okay, all right.
Post players, hustle, effort. That's what we do, yeah.
Pound it inside. Pound it inside.
There we go.
Yes, all right. Well, I hope you dominate the paint tonight. And
there we go.
And we'll talk soon. All right, go Illini.
Go Illini.